tonight, so we continue to think about making our good confession. And so we have talked about over the last few Sunday nights. First of all, we talked about how we as God's people confess Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the promised one. Jesus is the one who has fulfilled completely, perfectly, accurately all that was written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is Christ. Then we talked about last week, Jesus, and we confessed Jesus is the Son of God. You know, confession is important. We say in our statement of our mission on our bulletin that we will follow Jesus, that we'll love other people like Jesus and tell the world about Jesus. Well, confessing Jesus is part of telling the world about Jesus. So we're using these Sunday nights to think about the good confession that we all make when we come to know the Lord. So Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the one who came. He is the one who said, when you pray, say, Our Father. Our Father. Jesus, the Son of God, reminding us that when we become followers of Jesus, when we're born again, we are born again to our Heavenly Father. He is the one, you know, Peter said it, blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has, quoting it from the old King James, who has begotten us again to a living hope. So all of us who know Jesus Christ are sons and daughters. We are children of God, and we follow the example. We confess our Father, and we confess Jesus as the Son of God, the one who came to this world, who identified with sinners, who is perfectly, completely, absolutely, eternally divine, and who is also fully, completely human. So we confess tonight, Jesus is the Christ. And I confess in front of this group, I believe Jesus is the Messiah. And I confess in front of this group that I believe Jesus is the Son of God. So tonight we come to what for most of us is the most familiar of our confession. That is that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And I'd like for you to look at several places in your Bible for just a few minutes tonight. And then we honor Jesus tonight. We will pray, we will celebrate, we will worship, and we will glorify Jesus as Lord. So I begin by confessing to this group, I believe Jesus is Lord. So I'd like for you to take your Bible now and turn to Matthew chapter 22. And in Matthew chapter 22, we have an unusual experience of Jesus speaking with the Pharisees. The Pharisees were that group of Jewish, they were very serious-minded, fundamental separatists of the Jews. They were truly a group who sought to live in holiness before the Lord. They were sincere and genuine in their desire to know the Word of God, to memorize God's Word, to learn it, to hide it in their heart. So though Jesus had these experiences with the Pharisees, let's remember that the Pharisees represent those who truly were seeking to follow the commandments of the Old Testament and the law of Moses in the proper way. And in Matthew chapter 22, I'd like for you to begin reading with me in verse 41. Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question. That didn't happen very often. Jesus asked the Pharisees a question. What do you think about the Christ, the Messiah? Whose son is he? They said to him, the son of David. He said to them, then how does David, in the Spirit, call him Lord, saying, this is Psalm 110. Make a note in your Bible. We've talked about this before if you've been with us in the Psalm studies. There are those times when you're reading the Psalm and all of a sudden you'll read the Psalm and what will emerge out of the pages are words describing someone different than David or the psalmist. And when you sense that and read it, the Holy Spirit is helping you to know these words are about Jesus Christ, the promised one. Here we have them. The Lord said to my Lord. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies beneath your feet. If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son? No one was able to answer him a word. Nor did anyone dare from that day on to ask him another question. The final question came from Jesus to the Pharisees, not the Pharisees trying to trick Jesus. And the final question was to declare to them that the Lord of David was standing in their very presence, and they did not see him. Psalm 110. The Lord said to my Lord, most frequently, most often quoted prophetic psalm in the New Testament among all of our spiritual fathers, the apostles. Sit at my right hand. The Lord said to my Lord. So today, tonight, as we gather in this place, we pause in this most significant and serious time to remember that all that we know about Jesus is based and founded on the good confession. Jesus is Lord. He is Lord. Well, I should pause because we're Americans and talk about what it means to be a Lord. Why our British roots would help us. Lords. What's a lord? We don't call anybody lord in America. We don't even like the sound of it. It just sounds like somebody's trying to boss us around. And we Americans don't get bossed around by anybody. That's obvious, isn't it? Lord. The Greek word. Kurios. Kurios. Well, in the time of Jesus' life on the earth, the Romans ran the world. The Romans were in charge. You students who are here, you need to pay attention to your history. It's important. You need to learn history. The Romans, they had their own way of peace. Their way of peace is you dominate, control, kill, murder, and you're in charge. That's the way you stay in charge. You just kill lots of people, and there's peace. And so over time, Caesar took upon himself the name Lord. Supreme One. Caesar is supreme. And around those days, there gathered and there developed a tradition, a process, that if you were a good Roman, if you were a part of the Roman Empire, you were to take your incense in your hand and you were to go and you were to declare and confess, Caesar is Lord. Seems like a very insignificant thing, doesn't it? Why? Who would be bothered by such a thing as that? You're just going to take a little incense. And all you have to do is just take it in your fingers and just take it and hold it up and say, Caesar is Lord. But something happened in the church Because the word Lord, which means ruler, master, owner, boss, absolute authority, all of these words that we use, all of these words remind us that for the Christian could never, the follower of Jesus, the ones who had made the good confession, just like I made it in front of you tonight. It's easy for me to make the good confession here tonight. It's different when I have to make the good confession out among people who think that if you talk about Jesus, you're a raving lunatic. You're a crazy person. You're mad and out of your mind. So the early church had to make a choice. Will we say Caesar is Lord, or will we not? And many, 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 many followers of Jesus were burned, crucified, fed to the lions and the other animals in the arena in Rome because they would not say, Caesar is Lord. Seems like a little thing. Why, what would it really matter? If we would just say that, you know, we have a lot of lords in our life. A lot of lords that we serve. The same is true for us in our day. So we think about Jesus as Lord. Thomas, he missed church one night and Jesus was there. Do you remember that? You do remember, don't you? Okay, just want to check. Thomas didn't show up. But then he came back the next time, and there was Jesus. You remember what he said? I'm not going to believe that Jesus is alive from the dead unless I can touch him and see him. I'm not going to believe it. When he did, what did he say? Thomas made the good confession. You remember what he said? My Lord and my God. That's the confession. He saw him. He saw the nail prints in his hands. He saw his side. He saw that he was fully alive. And he said, my Lord, my God. So when we come to the New Testament, we discover, as I've mentioned to you before, remember, church, we have to remember, we're blessed people to have our Bibles. We're blessed people to have all of the New Testament. But in the early days of the church, they did not have anything but the Old Testament, which was wonderful, which was amazing, but they did not have yet the collected writings of the apostles, our church fathers. So how did they share the gospel? Tonight I'd like for you to go to Romans chapter 10 and read some of the most ancient words that form one of the early confessions of the church. Why, to this very day, your pastor quotes these words almost every service we stand here and give a public invitation. They're ancient words. Paul includes them in the writings of the letter to the Roman church, but they were around way before the letter was written. These are the words. Are you hearing me tonight? Listen to the words. You see, these words, confessed, lead to salvation. They lead to being born again. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as, what does it say? If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, what does it say, church? You will
be saved.
Read the Word of God and hear it. So from the earliest days, as the church, after the resurrection of Jesus and his ascension, went out and was scattered by persecution and trouble and all the rest, they went everywhere saying, if you will confess with your mouth, Jesus Lord. The literal reading is Jesus Lord. If you will confess with your mouth, Jesus Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Paul goes on to give an additional explanation, which was from his writings to the Romans. But I want you to remember, here's what we go and say to people all the time at work. If you will confess with your mouth, Jesus as Lord. That means He becomes Lord over your family. You don't. That means Jesus becomes Lord over your life and your decisions and your will and your desires. It's often humorous to hear people who talk about Jesus as Savior but do not talk about Jesus as Lord. You can't talk about Jesus as Savior without talking about Lordship. It's just not, it's a misunderstanding. So tonight, if I stand and confess before you that Jesus is Lord, then I ought to be living in such a way in front of you that I am seeking as best I can under the submission to the Word of God and obedience and the help of the Holy Spirit to allow the Lord to be Lord of everything in my life. And that doesn't mean everything in my life's good. But He is Lord. He's Lord when it's good. He's Lord when it's bad. He's Lord when those early followers of Jesus said Jesus is Lord. They put Him on top of a pile of sticks and lit them on fire. And in the fire, Jesus was still Lord. Do you hear me tonight, church? We're American Christian. We don't know about suffering for Jesus. We don't know. But for me to say Jesus is Lord and to make that confession, I'm making a confession. It means that I am willing now to basically, you know, the word Lord means you have to bow. And oh, by the way, Americans don't bow. We don't bow. We're not a bowing people. But if you know Jesus, you must bow. You must bow. Which leads me to the next most wonderful passage in Philippians chapter 2. So in Philippians chapter 2, some of your Bibles will even help you with some of these passages that I'm reading, these ancient confessions, because your Bible will offset them in the text and let you look at them off. So you may be reading your Bible and wonder, well, I guess the printers must have messed up and just put these words in a different format. No, they're there because these words in Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse number 3 and reading through verse number 11, form what some have called one of the early hymns of the church. We do know it's one of the early confessions of the church. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. And then we come to it. Here's where it begins. This song, this confession, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in, notice, Messiah Jesus, who although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name. Do you hear me, church? The name which is above every name. Which is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee does what? Bows. And then we read it. every knee bows, of those who are in heaven and those on earth and under the earth. And every tongue makes the confession. And what is the confession? Jesus, Messiah, is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So when I say Jesus is Lord, that means that I have bowed. That means that I have confessed. Lord Jesus, you are the boss of my life. You tell me where to go. You tell me what to do. You permit the things that happen and go on in my life, whether I like them or not, because you are the Lord and I'm not the Lord. You're the boss and I'm not the boss. You're the master and I'm not the master. Jesus reminds us, even in his earliest teachings to his disciples, in Matthew chapter 7, I'll read these words. I want you to hear them, because one day when Jesus comes again, there will be a great separation. There will be a separation between those who are pretenders and those who are confessors. Do you hear me tonight? It's easy to be a pretender in the church in America and live in our own wickedness and hiddenness. We learned this morning the grace of God trains us to say no to sin, ungodliness, and worldly desires. If you're serious about your relationship to God and you're serious about walking with God and the Holy Spirit says, I don't think you should do that, you obey. Jesus says, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. There are pretenders who say, Lord, Lord, who pray, Lord, Lord, but who live their life as if the Lord doesn't even exist. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. That is to believe on Jesus. That is the will of God. Many will say to me on that day, the day of separation, Lord, 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 Lord. They say it in church, Lord, 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 did we not preach in your name? Lord, Lord, did we not cast out devils and demons in your name? Lord, Lord, didn't we perform miracles? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Who are you? You call me Lord, but who are you? Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Oh, as I stand before you, if I make the confession that Jesus is Lord, I must make sure I'm not a pretender. I must make sure that when I stand before you and say that I confess Jesus is Lord, I've done the best I can to put before the Lord everything I can in my life and by faith trust him as Lord. Do you hear me, church? If you make the confession, you must trust your Lord. So as we think about these words, we read finally from the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 19. And I give you these verses so that in your own time you can go home and talk to the Lord. Let me tell you what's wonderful to do. You know what's wonderful to do? When you have your prayer time, just say, Jesus, I confess you are the Messiah. And just praise God. Jesus, I confess you are the Son of God. Just praise God. When you're alone and you're by yourself, just confess and say, Jesus, I confess you are Lord. Oh my. These words are wonderful for us. Revelation chapter 19 as we finish tonight. We think about this good confession of Jesus as Lord. and we begin reading in verse 11 about the coming of Jesus. You see, one day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. When will that be, Pastor Mike? When Jesus comes again. Those who refuse to say that Jesus is anything will one day bow before the Supreme One, the eternally supreme Lord of heaven and earth, Jesus, the one who has come again. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. Jesus' coming is different now in the end, church. Came full of grace and truth to save, but there's a new coming. The next appearing. The blessed hope we talked about this morning. I'm reading to you here. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many crowns. Many crowns. And he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations. The nations. Think about the nations tonight. The nations who have no interest in Jesus, no interest in God, no interest in the Word of God. The nations and their false religions. And he will rule them. That's a Lord word. He will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written. Do you see it there, church? King of kings and what? That's right. So tonight, who do we have to do with? This one whose name is Jesus, the Lord. So when you say Jesus is Lord, remember, on his thigh, on his robe, he is called King of kings, Lord of lords. So tonight we confess Jesus is Lord. Lord of life, Lord of the church, Lord of all creation, Lord of the kingdom of God, soon coming Lord over all of the world. You know what you think and I think is chaos in the world today? It's the perfect plan and work of God. Did you know that? The Lord is at work. Oh, what's happening to all these dear people that have to get moved all over the world and have no place to go, and there are people killing and dying. Remember your Old Testament. Remember what God has done in the early church. The Lord didn't stop working when the book of Acts finished. Did you know that? We didn't go into some kind of a vacuum where we just kind of learn about God as something interesting to do. I will tell you tonight, when you confess Jesus as Lord, he changes your life. Do you believe that? But you have to submit to him. You have to surrender. You see, the lords of the ancient world expected only this, complete surrender. Jesus said, unless you take up your cross and deny yourself and follow me, listen, you cannot be my disciple. So may the Lord help us as we confess Jesus as Christ, Jesus as Son of God, and Jesus as Lord. We will remember Jesus is Lord of all. Amen. So let's bow our heads for just a moment. In the quiet of this moment, I want us to have an invitation time. If you will confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You know, with belief, we understand and know that you got to, when you believe on Jesus, you must repent of your sin. Jesus came preaching, repent and believe the good news, the gospel of the kingdom. So we say the same thing. If you're here tonight and you do not know Jesus as Lord, you have never confessed him as Lord, you can do that tonight. Many of us in this room have confessed him as Lord at some point in our life. That's where your spiritual life begins, confessing him as Lord. So if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, if you will confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So Heavenly Father,